Kath McAloon's got a wrap of the news week for us first, though. And Kath, some sort of deal reached in Paris about climate. What was the general reaction from farmers?
Well, Australian farmers that have been advocating for action on climate change are welcoming this news of a global pledge to limit greenhouse gas emissions. Those talks in Paris, they dragged on, but there was an outcome at the end with delegates from nearly 200 countries approving a pact which aims to limit global temperature rises to well below 2 degrees Celsius. Now, there's been a group of farmers in Australia who've really been campaigning to take action on this because they say they're seeing the effects of climate change on their farms, and one of those is Victorian dairy farmer Marion McDonald, and she says this agreement would now increase the likelihood of farmers actually being paid to look after the environment.
The great thing is that if Australia has taken such a leading role in the Paris negotiations, it suggests that the government is serious about climate change and there are real opportunities for farmers coming out of it. We know that they're going to take new action, so therefore we should make sure that those actions work for us rather than against us.
And similarly, the cattle industry is pretty positive as well.
Yeah, Southern Queensland cattle grazier Sid Plant has also welcomed this climate accord, but he does have some concerns that Australia will have to step up with its climate policies to meet the accord. Now, Sid Plant is another of the farmers that is really strong on taking action. It's a view that's not, I guess, shared across all farmers, with some farmers still a bit sceptical about climate change and the role of human activity in affecting a change in climate. But Sid Plant definitely believes that it's something we need to work on, and he says that Australia's current climate policies won't be enough to meet its obligations under this new agreement.
I think that's been a big part of deluding ourselves, really, when we really should be taking serious action. And especially on behalf of Australian agriculture, we're feeling the effects of climate change among the earliest and very significantly, and yet we're not getting the macro policies that we need to actually address the major issue.
Very different story for the resources industry.
There's been real pressure on the coal industry in particular coming out of this Paris Agreement. For one, the Clean Energy Council was saying that the Paris Climate Agreement would send a clear signal that the world is shifting away from coal and towards renewables, and that's been a theme that other people have picked up on, but not the Minerals Council. They're defending the coal industry, and they say that coal will actually play a part in reducing emissions globally. The council says that high-quality Australian coal will support the development of more clean and efficient coal-fired power stations. The Council's Greg Evans says that the Australian coal industry could actually benefit from growing global demand for coal.
Providing that coal for new generation clean, efficient coal-fired plants throughout Asia. Some 24 times Australia's coal-fired capacity is actually under construction or planned within Asia with these new modern ultra-supercritical coal-fired plants.
One of the biggest areas for debate in climate change and emissions has been the role that livestock play. Some interesting new research this week.
Yeah, agriculture has been a bit in the gun for emissions and their contribution to Australia's overall emissions, with about 15% of Australia's overall greenhouse gas emissions thought to come from agriculture. And of that, about 70% is thought to come from emissions from sheep and cattle. But there's been a bit of a revision of that this week, with an 8-year study finding that beef and dairy cattle don't actually produce as much methane as was first thought. Scientists used methane chambers to measure the emissions from cows. So they sort of put these cows in these chambers.
It's so very, wifty, wafty little chamber.
I don't know if I'd want to be in that chamber with the cow. And they actually found that emissions were 24% lower than the initial estimates they'd made. And those initial estimates were based on generic data which came from overseas and also didn't look at specific feed that was going into the cows. And this study was conducted over a long period of time, 8 years, and it used 1,000 animals across different locations. So it varied from cattle up in North Queensland to dairy cows down in Gippsland in Victoria. The CSIRO's Dr. Ed Charmley says these findings will take pressure off the cattle sector, which is often criticised for its contribution to greenhouse gas emissions.
Well, I think it certainly helps. We've got much the data we have now, we've got a lot more confidence in because it's based on newer methods, and it is lower emission compared to what we thought we had previously. But also, lower emissions means more efficient production. And so from a producer's perspective, we want to see more efficient animals with less wastage going out in methane.
Large parts of Australia are smack bang in the middle of a heat wave. What's the outlook for the next few months?
Well, it varies. If you're in the north of Australia and you've been waiting on the wet season to arrive, you might be disappointed with the Weather Bureau forecasting that it'll be a below average wet season in the north, and also that temperatures will be hotter than usual in the north, in the east, and also in Western Australia. So the Bureau is saying the first 3 months of 2016 are likely to be drier than average in parts of the north and also in the southeast mainland, but southeast Queensland and Tasmania are likely to be wetter than average. It's going to be a cooler start to the year in the country's southeast, but temperatures will be warmer than average everywhere else. So a bit of a mixed bag, but I guess for the north, bad news if you're waiting on those wet season rains and hoping that they might be drought-breaking rains.
And we're starting to get an idea of just how dry it has been in some states in particular and in South Australia.
Yeah, in the southeast corner of South Australia, farmers there are counting the costs of what's been the region's two driest years on record. Bordertown farmer Bill Hunt estimates that the drought has cost him $600,000 to $700,000 in lost income. And Mr. Hunt is really concerned that this isn't just a sort of a one-off drought, but in fact there's a larger climate system at play here. He's been farming in the region for 50 years, and he says that what he's observing climatically at the moment, he believes could be a real game changer.
The real good black ground, as we've always thought it, is bloody hopeless this year and last year at all. And we just say, is this the new normal?
The devil in the detail is starting to emerge with the China Free Trade Agreement.
Yeah, it was one that was really applauded by agricultural industries, but it doesn't get around some of the export and trade protocols, as the Australian blueberry growers are finding out. Their association says that in spite of this free trade agreement with China, they're still being denied access to the potentially lucrative Chinese market. The association's president is Greg McCulloch, and he wants an overhaul of the way that the federal government prioritises negotiations over trade protocols for agricultural commodities. He says the $150 million blueberry industry has yet to even make it onto the Australian government's list. And he says while that delay is happening, blueberry industry is losing out to overseas competitors in China.
The Chinese were doing their best to source blueberries until they can get their own industry up and running. And since we've been attempting to get onto that list, the Chinese have done a deal with Argentina and British Columbia to get blueberries in, and we've just been left hanging again.
You learn something every week. A cricket match with a difference in South Australia.
Yeah, the community in the mid-north of South Australia, which was affected by that big fire last month, has come together and they've raised $100,000 by having this community cricket match, and that money will help farmers in the region to rebuild. So you'll remember that the Pinery fire killed two people and it burnt through 85,000 hectares of land. It also wiped out animals and fencing and destroyed homes. And so more than 2,000 people turned out for this fundraiser cricket match to show their support for the residents. And organiser Heather Curnow says farmers there are really still coming to terms with the devastation of the fire.
There'll need to be support around for them, when they come back from their holidays and realise that they don't have their tractors to actually be able to go out and start again. So it'll be hard.
And still on community spirit, a lovely convoy heading out to Western Queensland.
Yeah, bringing some Christmas cheer to the state's west that's been doing it really tough with the drought. So a convoy of utes and trucks from central Queensland headed to the drought-declared town of Barcolden in the state's west. And they took with them more than 550 bales of hay, several tonnes of animal feed, and even Christmas gifts for children. So cattle producer Peter McClellan, who's from the drought area of Western Queensland, he was there collecting a truckload of animal feed for himself and his neighbours, and he says the kindness of strangers will take some of the pressure off over the festive season.
It's a wonderful gesture on their part to come from that far away, and the cost to them, it's absolutely brilliant. Makes the limited finance you got go a little bit further.
It's a lovely story. Kath, thanks for all of your wonderful work on Rural News this year.
Thanks, Edwina.
Have a happy Christmas.
You too.